Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you again. Pastor Dennis was going to try to make it this morning and do communion, but they were not feeling well, so you're stuck with me again this morning. But I very much enjoy being with you. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we only got partway through that last week. And we will be, our text will be from verses 21 to 33, respectively. And if I had my title up here, you would see that the title is Submission is Not a Four-Letter Word. We've been dealing with, in the entire book of Ephesians, we've been dealing with how God comes into our life, he changes us, and he makes us into a new creature, because he's such an amazing and wonderful and gracious God. And when we get saved, it's by faith alone through Jesus Christ alone and not by anything else. But as we come into the Lord, he begins to change us. And as he begins to change us, you've seen some of the put-ons and put-offs. In other words, when we get saved, we're not instantaneously completely pure. You still have the thoughts, you still have some of the ways, you still have some of the language. I think one of the funniest things for me, yes? This is not working? Okay.
Working. I thought I could hear it. Oh, okay. I don't mind a crunchy mic.
Okay. Check, check, check. We there? That concludes our service for this morning. Okay, so the put-ons and the put-offs. There are certain things that as we come to know Jesus Christ are no longer acceptable. And that might be language, that might be, it most certainly is thought life, it's a lot of other different things. And I remember that for me, one of the things was language. I worked construction when I got saved. And so not exactly or necessarily the most flowery language in the world in construction. And I remember that after I got saved, it was probably within 24, 48 hours after I truly got saved, that I remember something came out of my mouth and I was thinking, that sounded so childish. I'd never really been convicted about it before then, but I remember when it came out of my mouth, I thought, man, that sounded real childish. I have a little more in my vocabulary than that. I need to start using those. So anyway, God begins to clean us up and begin to change us. Now, we've also watched that evolution, if you will, where not only does he change us from the inside out, he also begins to show us that there is an order to life, and he's at the top of that order. And that submission really is key to him. You'll find that it's really not so much about each other. It's not so much about husband and wife, although he does delineate that. It's more about trusting in him than it is trusting in anyone or anything else. It's trusting in the Lord. Now, as this has progressed, we've also seen how it changes our life. And as it changes our life, he means for it to change us all the way through in every aspect of life. So he begins to go through how this deals with marriage, how it deals with children, how it deals with employees and employers. In other words, when we get saved, a lot of Christians think that's it. I'm saved by grace alone, through Jesus alone. I'm done. It's a finished work. And they go on with their work. Now, please understand, Jesus' work at the cross is finished, but he's not finished with us. He continues to work in us. And so for a lot of Christians, they get saved and go, hey, I'm saved. So it doesn't really matter how I live, it doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter if I attend, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters anymore because I'm saved. But for the Christian that's in love with the Lord, that's the beginning. That's when we get an opportunity now and have the strength and the power in Christ to be able to make the changes that he wishes for us to make. And people come up and tell me, you know, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that, and I just can't seem to get the victory over it. My response to them all the time is, you need to focus on Jesus and not on the sin. Don't focus on the issue. Don't focus on the thing. Just fall in love with Jesus. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the less appealing those things are going to be. It doesn't mean they're not going to be there. It's just that when they come about, you're going to see them. You're going to realize that that's a line you don't want to cross. So primarily when we hear the word submission, right, we relate it to marriage. So I got a couple things for you here this morning. There was a couple that was very busy in a very busy shopping center just before Christmas. And the wife suddenly noticed that her husband was missing. And as they had a lot to do, she called him on her phone and she says, "Where are you? We have a lot to do today." And he said, "Do you remember that jeweler's that we went into about 10 years ago? And you fell in love with that diamond necklace? I could not afford it at that time. And I said that one day I would get it for you." Little tears began to start to flow down her cheek and she got all choked up. And she said, "Yes, I do remember that shop." And he said, "Well, I'm in the gun shop next door to that." Guys are going to be guys and gals are going to be gals. And instead of the men trying to change their wife into a man or the man trying to change their husband into a woman, they need to learn those differences, learn to embrace the differences. Now, I'm not saying, "Oh, this is just who I am, you got to live with it," kind of thing. I'm just saying that there are differences. We do need to learn to live with some of those differences, but we also need to change. If we're part of the problem, we need to change. I know that for my wife and I, we would have never made it without Jesus. Our first year was horrible. It was horrible. But we've been married a very, very long time, and that I completely credit to Jesus Christ because we've had to learn how to make that work. Here's another one for you. A husband and a wife wear a pair of tight wads. And Bob had always wanted to go flying in one of those stunt planes. But every time he would ask, his wife Sue would say, "No way, $20 is $20. And Bob heard that there was going to be a stunt plane in town for a show, and he got Sue to go there by explaining, "Well, it's free to watch. Let's at least go and watch the show." Of course, once he got there, he wanted to take a ride, and they ended up in a huge argument. The pilot was between flights, and he overheard what was going on, so he said, "I'll tell you what. I'll take you up flying. If you don't say a word, the ride is on me. But if you make one sound, you pay the $20. So off they went. The pilot was doing as many rolls and dives as he could, heading to the ground as fast as he could, and then he would take the plane and pull out of the dive and go as fast as he could up, and he would wait until the very last second on these things, but not a word. Not a word from either one of them. Finally, he admitted defeat, and he went back to the airport. When he got back to the ground, he told Bob, he says, "You know, I'm really surprised. With all that I tried, you didn't say a thing." And Bob said, "Well, I almost said something when Sue fell out, but $20 is $20. Maybe God gave this to us in marriage because he realizes it's something that we all have to work on. It's something that we all struggle with. You spend, whether it's 18 years of your life or 30 years of your life, doing things the way you want to do them. And all of a sudden you get married and there's somebody else who has a completely different way of doing those things. And somehow you have to meld the two of those together. They have to become one. So I want to give you the definition of the word submission. It is a Greek word. And that Greek word, I'm going to give you two steps to what this really means from the dictionary. It is, and also from the word, a Greek military term that means, and I quote, "to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader." Now, I know some of you ladies are thinking, "Oh yeah, here he goes. He's going to go talk to the man, the leader." No, the man's not the leader. Jesus Christ is the leader. But because his universe, because his world, his spiritual world, and this world has an order to it, he's at the top of all of that. We've got to keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. So, a Greek military term that means to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Now, here's the definition in a non-military use. It means, and I quote, "a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden." Okay, let's go back to that. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Now, what does that look like? Of course, we see it in Jesus Christ, but you guys see it every Sunday morning when you break down. I don't mean emotionally breaking down. I mean when you break down all this stuff. Or if you come in early and you set it all up. There is that attitude of giving in, laying down what you want to do, cooperating, trying to get it all taken care of, assuming responsibility, hey, what can I do, and then the carrying of the burden, actually seeing it all carried out. Now, apply that to your marriage, if you will. I want to give you Ephesians 5:21. Please turn there. Please know and understand that this is where it starts. It doesn't really start in the next one when we start dealing with wives. It starts in this one. Now, there's not going to be enough time this morning for me to get to the men. That's not intentional. Hopefully, you know, I mean, maybe it'll be carried on next week. Maybe not, but my point is this. I'm not ignoring the guys because, gentlemen, the next study is us laying down our lives for our wives like Christ laid it down for the church. And what did he do for the church? His commitment was a full commitment, right? He gave his entire life to lay down his life for the church. So, guys, we're not off the hook, so to speak. But look at 5:21. Submitting to each other in the fear of God. That's where it starts. Submitting to each other. Husband submitting to the wife. Wife submitting to the husband. Christians submitting to each other. Now, what does that mean? Well, go back up to the top. A voluntary attitude of laying down your life for somebody else. Caring about somebody else. Loving and appreciating them and willing to lend a hand to carry out whatever the mission might be. It doesn't really matter what it is. Now, he says in the fear of God, we have a kind of a strange reaction to the word fear. Well, as we do submission, but that fear. But it's not the same meaning that we have today, right? Fear, we're talking about how do you relate to fear? When you hear the word fear, the worst horror movie you could ever watch, that's Fear, Freddy, whatever I haven't watched it, I want you to know that, but if whatever it might be, that's fear, but that's not what we're talking about. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, it's talking about a loving respect for God, a respect for God. Loving him enough to know that at the cross he could have done anything he wanted to do, but he submitted, right? He could have fried everybody at the cross if he wanted to, but he didn't. He submitted because he was submitting to whose plan? The Father's plan. He said at the beginning, I'm here to do the will of my Father. So, he's letting us know that if we keep our focus on Jesus, we can pull this off. We can do this. The Lord doesn't give us a command if it's not possible for us to do it. But guys, I'd like to go back to the simple fact that we were never meant to walk the Christian walk without Christ. It's impossible to walk this walk without Jesus Christ, without the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Now, in real life, there is always someone in authority over us. You're born, it's your parents. It's the school teachers. It's the policemen. There's always somebody with authority over us. And often, some of you, maybe businessmen and women, there's someone that you have authority over. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you have children, but you have authority over them. It's God's order, if you will. If you look at the stars and you look at the planets and you look at everything else that God created, there is an order to all of it. So what I'm suggesting and what I'm pleading with you to do this morning is to elevate it beyond just husband and wife. Elevate it all the way up to where it's supposed to be. Now, that's not an accident. If you look at Matthew 8, please. Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 5. I want to show you someone in the scriptures that Jesus had a tremendous amount of respect for. And the reason he had a tremendous amount of respect for him is because the man understood authority. And he understood submission. Matthew 8, 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, and he pleaded with him. So the Roman centurion came to him, and he begged him, and he said, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion, now what would you have done? Get here as fast as you can. Right? Get here as fast as you can. Isn't that our 11:59 and counting prayer? When the finances aren't there, when someone's sick, when it's beyond their control, and we know it's beyond their control, then we plead to Jesus. And then we say, "Get here as fast as you can." But I want you to look at the confidence in this Roman centurion. Look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." He says, "I know that if you just say the word, my servant will be healed." And then he explains why. In verse 9, he says, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this one, 'Go,' he goes. And to another, 'Come,' he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." In other words, I understand the chain of command. I'm in the military. I understand it. I have someone I answer to. I have people that answer to me. And if I tell one of my soldiers I need this done, he does it. It needs to be done. He understands that. So he's saying, "I know that if you, being the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, if you say it, it will be done. You created it all. You put it all into place by a spoken word. All that you have to do, is to speak it. And I know that my servant will be healed." And look at Jesus' response to that. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel." Not even in Israel. He was so impressed with this man's faith and his ability to understand submission and authority that he commended it. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not there yet. I want to be there. I want to be there that no matter what happens in life, I'm not talking about the easy things in life. "Lord, where do I go eat this afternoon? Which place, is Sam going to pay for it? You know, which place are we going to go?" Not the easy things. I'm talking about the hard things, the extremely difficult things. When I have no solution, when it is 11:59 and counting, and when God says no, when I want him to say yes, or he says yes, when I want him to say no, I want to be able to look at his order and say, "Father, thy will be done." Wow. Isn't that the ultimate place for a Christian to be able to put aside their own things for the will of God? Now, guys, I'm saying it, but I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's a very, very difficult thing. And in many cases, it causes a crisis of faith. It's down to the nitty-gritty. You may be wrestling with the Lord all night long, or for a week long, or for a month long, because you want so bad for something to turn out your way, but God seems to be leading in another way. And the only way that we can deal with it is taking it back to the Lord. Now, the centurion's heart is the heart he wants us to have. And that's to be able to trust him ultimately. Now, turn to Job chapter 34, verse 13. In Job 34:13, it says, "Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole world?" Have you ever been in that wrestling match with the Lord and asked the same question? Of course not. We're Christians, right? Let's be honest. We've done that. We've questioned God. We've doubted him. We've wondered where he's at. But now I want you to turn to Matthew 28:18. I won't make you jump around too much, but if you turn around to Matthew 28:18. Here's the answer. Job asks the questions. Matthew answers the question. Jesus actually answers it in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. So here's the thing. That means that God, if you have a Christian husband, he can speak through him. He can also spank him. He can correct him. He can redirect him. We so much as human beings like to play Holy Spirit in each other's lives. We really do. God convicts us of something. We decide that it's not a good thing in our life, and all of a sudden, we need a campaign manager. Because we're out saying that everybody in the world should be convicted about the same thing. Have the same system of values and checkpoints that I have. Here's the point. A wife cannot submit to her husband without Jesus. Because her husband makes mistakes. He's a human being. A husband cannot submit to his wife without Jesus Christ. Because she's going to make mistakes. Children cannot submit to their parents without seeing Jesus in the mix somewhere. Because, you know, when they're little, we're everything to them. They hit teenage years and we're dumber than dirt. And it takes quite a while for that to come back around again. Sometimes it's 19, sometimes it's 90, but they finally grow up and realize mom and dad weren't so bad. And that mom and dad were actually maybe even a little bit smarter than they'd given them credit for. But you see, none of us can do this. We cannot do this without God. And we cannot submit to each other without loving each other, without caring about each other, without caring enough about other people and not so much about ourselves. You see, it's been said that many divorces are caused by the marriage of two people who are in love with themselves. Isn't that true? In love with themselves. I don't think I have ever sat in a marriage counseling situation where I didn't hear, "But she does," or "But he does," always focusing on the other individual. And as I've shared with folks many, many times, I don't think there's ever been one time in my marriage, many years, that I have ever gone to the Lord complaining about my wife that he has answered it. You know what he always says? "What about you? Wait a minute. That's not what I came to you about. I'm serious. I remember one time specifically. I still have it in my mind. I don't even remember what it was about because most arguments are over petty stuff that don't matter anyway, right? So it was something, and I remember I'd gone out into the garage, and I was sitting there, and I was complaining to the Lord. And I still have it in my mind, and I remember the Lord speaking to me plainly and saying, "What about you, John?" And I remember telling all of my sons, they would say, "Well, I want to meet the right woman. I want to meet someone like Mom," right? "Someone that's committed, faithful," on and on. And I said, "Well, what do you have to offer? You want someone like that, but what do you have to offer? What are you bringing to the table? You want that, and then you're going to change? Why not change into the man that you need to be, and then let God put the person in your life that he wants to put in your life?" So God has an order. It's not my order. It's not your order. He didn't ask us to write this. He didn't ask our opinion on this. He's got this order that goes all the way from him, all the way into eternity, and we have a part to play. So let's take a look at verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord." Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now that submit, again, you guys, you have all the definitions of that. You know what that means. I want to point out two things here. Wives are asked to give their husbands the same loving respect that they do the Lord. Can't be done without the Lord. Can't be done if it's not done in the name of the Lord. In fact, he asks them to do it because of the Lord in this verse. She has to trust in the Lord more than she does her husband. Let's say your husband comes along and he says, "Honey, I'd like to do this. Let's do this." And you just dead set against it. There should be open communication. Let's go all the way back up to the first one I gave you, submitting to yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. There should be open communication. There should be a willingness to know that nothing is taboo to bring to the table to talk about. Sometimes people will use anger. Sometimes people will use fear. They'll use all kinds of things to not deal with it. But it needs to be an open table, an open communication that you can talk. So a wife should be able to go to her husband and give all the reasons why she doesn't like it. And if he says, "Well, I just really feel like we're supposed to do this," she's going to have to go to God to get around this, isn't she? She's going to have to find some way to be able to deal with this. Because in her heart, she's absolutely sure that it's really not a good idea. Maybe even a dumb idea. But her husband is sure that it is. Now, can she, based on what we've talked about, can she safely go to God and ask God to change his mind? Now, hold on. Yes, she can. But should she believe that God can? Does she believe that God will? You see, that's really the thing, isn't it? Let's take, you know, by the way, ladies, submission, it's just not females. Guys don't like to submit either. You have guys that, in fact, I think entrepreneurs are guys who don't like to submit. They go get a job, they work for a week, this guy's stupid. They go get another job, they work for 2 weeks, they run this place. Horrible. And eventually they start their own business. Some are successful, some are not. But we don't like submission either, and we're not really good at it either. But our job is, if we have a job, our job is to submit to the guy who we're working for, put in the time. So anyway, she's got this situation. And there comes a time with this tremendous amount of faith that she's got to be able to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, change him." This is a prayer that I pray a lot, and I think a lot of Christians do, and that's that if God, I'm wrong, change me, and if she's wrong, change her. That's a pretty safe prayer, isn't it? So what happens if he goes ahead and does it? Well, let me say this. We're going to get to the end of this, and I will say this. He will be responsible before the Lord for making that decision. God will hold him accountable for making that decision. But if the one that is to submit makes the decision for them, they stand responsible before the Lord for that decision. You follow that? Okay. All right. The second thing I would like to point out here in this scripture about wives submitting to your own husbands. He does say to your own husbands. Now you might think, well, why did he put to your own husbands? Well, oftentimes there's not a problem submitting to other husbands in the work environment. Right? In a lot of places, men have women bosses. Guys, the women have men bosses. And so they submit to that man. They'll submit to another man. But when it comes to their own husband, they can't submit to that. Now, let me be the first to say here, if you have a godly husband, if you have a husband that loves the Lord, this job is going to be a lot easier. I know that I can trust my wife's relationship with Jesus. I know that I can trust that. That makes this much easier. But it doesn't say in here, if you have a really good husband. Let's move on. Submitting to your own husbands. Sometimes it's easier to submit to another guy than it is to submit to your own husband. Is it because of his walk? Is it because you don't trust him? Open, have the open table discussion. Talk to him. Tell him. Tell him you need him to mature. Tell him you need him to grow up. Tell him that you need him to step up and lead the family. All right. Here it goes. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the bodies. Now, many pastors throughout the world have had women leave the church when these verses are taught on. I've experienced it myself. But know and understand, well, let me give you this. It's like the man from Oklahoma who admitted that he lied on his income tax return when he listed himself as the head of the household. What does that mean? What does that mean to be the head of the household? I'll tell you this, I would trade it to my wife in a minute if it wasn't for God. I don't want to be the head of the household. I don't want to be the head of anything. I'd rather just sit casually by. I would rather that when we get to heaven, she's responsible for my family. Not me. I would rather that she has to give an account for those stupid decisions that I've made and the mistakes that I've made. So it's not all that you think it is. At work, you have a supervisor. He has people over him. All we see is them, right? And we see all the mistakes that they make. But we don't understand that there's a lot that they're accountable for. That when they sit down with the people that have authority over them, they've got to give a reason for why the numbers are down or up or who's performing or who's not performing. It's so easy to see one side of it, but to not see the other side. And with today's modern liberated woman, many Christian women even, they don't like the idea of the husband having any kind of authority over them at all. I think that's human. Guys don't like it either. But I think the problem is a basic misunderstanding of the husband's role as an end the term of being the head of the wife. It actually has two meanings. It has a physical meaning of the head, right? If you take a look at a human body, you cut the head off, you don't really have much. So it's supposed to guide, it's supposed to direct. But it also has to do with respect. Just respect. Now, Sarah called her husband Lord. She called Abraham Lord. Now, I don't expect that from my wife, but I do like it sometimes at night when she rolls over and says, "Good night, Captain, sleep well." Oh, boy. I'm getting myself in deeper and deeper, aren't I? It's just, if we boil it all down, it's just a simple act of respect. I see husbands getting torn to shreds, and I see wives getting torn to shreds when people are just standing around talking. A wife not bragging about her husband once in a while. Do you know what that does for a guy? To know that his wife still thinks that he's awesome. That she still admires him. That he has a little bit of intellect. That he can make a few decisions on his own. That does a lot for us. And guys, don't diminish how much it means to our ladies either, to our wives. How much it means to them to let them know that you still think she's the most beautiful person in the room. And that your life lights up when she enters into a room. Respect, just a mutual respect. So, guys, being the head of the household is not necessarily something that you should look at and say, "Well, yeah, I'm the head of the house." Well, I would turn that around and say, let's see how you feel about that when you stand before the Lord and give an account of how your family's turned out. You see, it's not one of those things that we should use to lord over, nor continue to remind our wife what her Christian role is. I've seen so many Christian husbands quote these scriptures to the wife. And I tell them, you know, jump down to the next part of it, guys. About submitting your life, laying your life down for her, caring about her needs, caring about what's making her happy and what's not making her happy. Guys, marriage is a roller coaster. You're going to have your ups and downs. It's just going to be there. But if you make, and let me say this, this is kind of an aside, it's not in my notes. Never mention the word divorce. Decide right now to cross that out of your vocabulary. Do not ever mention the word divorce. Never hint or indicate that you're still attractive and could find someone else. Cross that out of your communication. It just shouldn't be a part of any of it. All right, let's move on down. Look at verse 24. Therefore, again, see a therefore, ask what it's there for. Predicated on all these other things that we've been taking a look at. Just as the church is subject to who? To Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, wait a minute. Be subject to your husbands like the church is to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church? We don't doubt that, right? We don't doubt that without Jesus there is no church, right? But that's not the point. What did Jesus do for the church? There was no church without Jesus. And you might say, well, my wife's not perfect. My wife does this. If you had a wife like mine, do you realize, guys, he saved us when we were a mess? We probably still are. But he saved us when we were filthy. He saved us when we were rebellious. He saved us when we hated him. So if we turn around and say, well, my wife's not perfect, neither was the church, but Jesus laid down his life to purify the church and to make the church holy. He gave his life for the church. And I think we as men, if we gave a little bit more of our lives to our families and to our wives, I think it would make a lot of difference. In other words, guys, we're back to God's order. We're back to God's order where the man's concerned. We're back to God's order where the wife is concerned. We're back to God's order where the children are concerned. Now, I want to say this. Ladies, it is not your obligation to submit if your husband asks you to sin. Now, you may have other pastors or somewhere else or somebody else that has a different conviction of that. I do not agree. Husbands, and I've seen husbands who are not saved, ask their wives to do some pretty stupid stuff. You are not obligated to submit if he asks you to sin. That's the only thing I know of in Scripture that would keep a husband and a wife from submitting to each other. All right. So, Christian behavior, it's not enough to just get saved, guys. It's kind of like when you just get saved. It's kind of like a couple going through the premarital counseling, deciding they want to get married, setting the marriage date, having the ceremony, having the father give away the bride, and then he says, honey, I love you, but I gotta leave. And he moves and goes to another side of the country, and she never hears from him anymore. You see, Christians sometimes, they go through the ceremony. They go through the rite, they go through the ritual. They get convicted by teaching, or they get convicted by a radio show or a song that's on the radio. And they give their life to Jesus Christ. So they give their life to Jesus Christ, and then they move away. They move away. If you ask them, are you a Christian? They'd say yes. If you ask them, are you born again? They would say yes. If you ask them, do you love Jesus? They would say yes. There's no evidence. There's no sign of it. Love's tangible. For God so loved that he, what? You see, if love doesn't have feet, it doesn't mean anything. Same way with the congregation. Same way with the family. There needs to be tangible signs of us loving each other. So when someone says that they're a Christian, are they committed to the Lord? Now, here's another thing that I have to remind myself of all the time, and that is, if I don't like to be around Christians, why is that? But what would be the reason I don't like being around Christians? If I say anything negative about Christians, that means I think I'm better than them. So why does the Word of God not excite me like it used to be, like it used to? I don't know about you guys, but when we first got saved, you couldn't consume enough material. We were checking out tapes, you're reading everything, you're going to every seminar you can go to, you're going to every Bible study. In fact, when I still have it happen. People will come to me and go, they just got saved, right? And they're going, well, what are we doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? They want something all the time. But what often happens with Christians later on in life is they begin to say, oh, it's just another Bible study. Whoa. They look at their wives like that. Oh, it's just my wife. It's just my family. You see, I think we have to mature. We have to grow. We have to quit being selfish. We have to lay down our life and realize this is not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the Great Commission. It's about telling other people about Jesus. And if you've got the Word of God so well memorized, then why are you setting on your tail end and not teaching it? If you've got it down that well, Not you guys, us. I'm talking about me too. And that's that if I've got it so well memorized that I don't need another Bible study, I should be laying down my life. I should be teaching a Sunday school class. I should be doing something for someone else. I'd like the worship team to go ahead and come on up, if you would, please, as we take communion together. Guys, before we take communion, I want to challenge you. Now, last week I was here and I asked you if you didn't know Jesus, if you'd like to. And no one raised their hand, which is fine. I'm assuming that most of you are Christians. I'm available to talk to you if you want to give your heart to the Lord. And I know that there's a lot of other people here who would like to do the same. But I would like to pray with you and give the Lord an opportunity that if this has spoken to you about your marriage, or maybe you're not married now because of not abiding by some of these things, but someday you hope to be, that God is changing your heart, that God is working on you. So let's bow our heads. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would just work on us, that you'd change us, that you would do within us what no one else could do. Father, as with many things that are of the Spirit, they simply can't be done in the flesh. Submitting to one another. Submission is not submission until you have to submit. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to rationalize. But when it really comes down to it, we really have to put all our faith and trust in you, not in the person. If you're here this morning and you just say, you know, I don't like submission, and I'm not very good at it, and it's caused me trouble. But you want God to change that, I firmly believe that he can. Anyone here this morning would admit that or say, I have a tough time with this. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. And in all honesty, it's probably most of us. Father, may you grant us the ability to know we don't have all the answers. Other people have viable input. But most of all, help us to love one another. Help a husband and a wife, and even if there is a disagreement, they can love one another. There can be the apologies and the restorations. And that, Father, that can extend into the church fellowship, that there's apologies and restorations, other ideas. May we hold each other as valuable and lay down our lives for each other. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.